the Antichrist sitteth in the temple of God. The Bible predicts that the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for unless there come a revolt first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and is lifted up above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself as if he were God. But what is the temple of God? Father Herman Kramer was a Catholic priest who spent 30 years studying and writing a book on the apocalypse. In his book, he wrote the following about St. Paul's prophecy concerning the Antichrist sitting in the temple of God. Quote, St. Paul says that the Antichrist sitteth in the temple of God. This is not the ancient temple of Jerusalem, nor a temple like it built by Antichrist as some have thought, for then it would be his own temple. This temple is shown to be a Catholic church, possibly one of the churches in Jerusalem, or St. Peter's in Rome, which is the largest church in the world, and is in the fullest sense the temple of God. Father Kramer astutely points out that in order for the Antichrist to sit in the temple of God, as sacred scripture says, he must sit in a Catholic church. In fact, he must sit in the most prominent Catholic church in the world, which has been hijacked and overtaken by the Antichrist and his supporters. The Antichrist will not and cannot sit in a rebuilt temple of Jerusalem, as many have thought, because this would certainly not be the temple of God, but the Antichrist's own temple. The Antichrist must sit in St. Peter's in Rome, the largest Christian church in the world, and the very spot where the first Pope St. Peter was buried. And the fact that the Antichrist will sit in Rome is precisely what the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, has also predicted. On September 19, 1846, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared in La Salette, France, and foretold that, quote, Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of the Antichrist. The church will be in eclipse. Our Lady specifically predicted that Rome will lose the Catholic faith, fall into apostasy from the true Church of Christ, and become the seat of the Antichrist. And the similarity between Our Lady's prophecy and the Bible's prophecy about the Antichrist sitting in the temple of God is unmistakable. Both the Bible and Our Lady are clearly telling us that the Antichrist will have his seat in the temple of God in Rome. In this video, we will bring forward the evidence that the Antichrist is sitting in the temple of God in Rome right now, just as it was predicted by St. Paul and Our Lady of La Salette. And the fact that the Antichrist is sitting in the temple of God in Rome does not disprove the authenticity of the Catholic Church or imply that the gates of hell have prevailed against the one church established by Jesus Christ. On the contrary, the fact that the Antichrist is sitting in a church in Rome proves that the Catholic Church is the temple of God, the one true Church of Christ, whose members the Antichrist wishes to deceive, whose traditions he wishes to destroy, whose mass he wishes to replace, and whose faith he wishes to eliminate. The Antichrist defined. In all of sacred scripture, the word Antichrist is mentioned only 4 times. The word Antichrist is not mentioned at all in the Apocalypse, nor by St. Paul, who only uses the terms son of perdition and man of sin. The word Antichrist is only mentioned by St. John the Apostle in his epistles. Therefore, in looking for the definition of Antichrist, we must first look to St. John's epistles, not the Apocalypse, because St. John uses and defines the word Antichrist, and the Apocalypse does not. Out of the 4 times that St. John uses the word Antichrist, he only defines it 2. The 2 definitions that St. John gives for Antichrist are the most important pieces of evidence that exist in identifying who the Antichrist actually is. Because sacred scripture is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of God, therefore sacred scripture's definition of Antichrist is infallibly the correct one. 1 John 2 verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denieth the Father and the Son. 1 John chapter 4 verses 2 and 3. Every spirit which confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that dissolveth Jesus is not of God, and this is Antichrist. Both definitions of Antichrist deal with a denial of the truth about who Jesus Christ is. The truth about our Lord Jesus Christ and the truth about the Most Holy Trinity are the very foundations of the Christian religion. They are the most important truths in the universe. This is why the early councils of the Catholic Church condemned, with the utmost vigor, even the slightest deviation from the truth about Jesus Christ or the Trinity. And this is why the greatest enemies of Jesus Christ in history were not those men who caused Jesus Christ's followers temporal harm, but those who were the most effective and blasphemous in attacking the truth about Jesus Christ, which is the very foundation of one's eternal salvation. Thus, in defining Antichrist, sacred scripture refers to a specific attack on the truth about Jesus Christ, a specific attack on the truth about the God-man. Sacred scripture refers specifically to the dissolving of Jesus, 1 John 4 verses 2 and 3, and the denial that Jesus is the Christ, 1 John 2 verse 22. These two things serve as the distinguishing characteristic of the Antichrist according to sacred scripture, and these two things clearly refer to an attack on the truth of the incarnation of the Son of God. One of the first and most notorious men in church history to pervert the doctrine of the incarnation was the 5th century heretic Nestorius, who was condemned by the Council of Ephesus in 431. The case of the heretic Nestorius is incredibly important in identifying the Antichrist, as we will see, because Nestorius's heresy was the specific heresy which fits the Bible's definition for Antichrist. Nestorius was the heretic who tried to dissolve Jesus, as sacred scripture says, 1 John 4 verses 2 and 3, and he did so by perverting the truth of the incarnation. Pope Pius XI, Encyclical, December 25, 1931. All these, no less than Nestorius, attempt to dissolve Christ. Pope Pius XI here confirms that Nestorius's heresy was the specific doctrine of Antichrist. It was an attempt to dissolve the person of Jesus Christ, which is the mark of Antichrist according to sacred scripture. But what was this doctrine of Nestorius? How did Nestorius dissolve Jesus, and in doing so become what St. John defines as Antichrist? In order to understand Nestorius's doctrine, we must very briefly repeat the Catholic truth of the Incarnation. The Catholic Church teaches that the Eternal Word, the Son of God, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, assumed a human nature and truly became a man. St. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Word made flesh. He is truly God, and he is also truly man. He is one Christ, one divine person, with two natures. Pope St. Leo the Great, Council of Chalcedon, 451 ex cathedra. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same perfect in divinity and perfect in humanity, a single person and subsistent being, he is not parted or divided into two persons. But Nestorius rejected that our Lord Jesus Christ is one person. Nestorius blasphemously dissolved Jesus into two persons. Nestorius blasphemously held that the Son of God did not become man in the Incarnation, but rather that the Son of God united himself in a certain way with a man named Jesus. I repeat, Nestorius did not hold that the Son of God became man in the incarnation, but rather that the Son of God united himself in a certain way with a man named Jesus. Does this sound familiar? Antipope John Paul II, Redemptor Hominis number 13. By his incarnation, he, the Son of God, in a certain way united himself with each man. Antipope John Paul II, Homily, July 2, 1986. The Son of God, incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary, has in a certain way united himself with each man. Antipope John Paul II, Homily, April 8, 1987. By his incarnation, the Son of God has united himself in a certain way with each person. Antipope John Paul II, Letter to Families, number 2. The Son of God, who in the incarnation united himself in some sense with every man. And by holding that the Son of God did not become man, but rather united himself with a man named Jesus in the incarnation, Nestorius dissolved or divided our Lord Jesus Christ into two persons. Pope St. Leo the Great, Dogmatic Letter to Flavian, 449. Let Nestorius therefore be anathematized. He made one person of the flesh and another of the Godhead, and did not perceive that there was but one Christ. And by dissolving or dividing our Lord Jesus Christ into two persons, Nestorius's Antichrist doctrine logically resulted in the worship of two Christs, and introduced as a consequence the worship of man. Pope Vigilius, Second Council of Constantinople, 553. The Holy Synod of Ephesus has pronounced sentence against the heresy of Nestorius, and all those who might later adopt the same opinions as he held. They expressed these falsehoods against the true dogmas of the Church, offering worship to two sons, trying to divide that which cannot be divided, and introducing to both heaven and earth the offense of the worship of man. But the sacred band of heavenly spirits worship along with us only one Lord Jesus Christ. In this incredible quotation, the dogmatic Second Council of Constantinople teaches that the blasphemous dissolving of Jesus into two persons by Nestorius's view of the incarnation resulted in the worship of two sons and introduced as a consequence the worship of man. I repeat, Nestorius's heretical view of the incarnation resulted in the worship of two sons and introduced as a consequence the worship of man. This was the very doctrine described by St. John as the doctrine of the Antichrist. Does it sound familiar? Antipope John Paul II, Redemptor Hominis, number 10, March 4, 1979. In reality, the name for that deep amazement at man's worth and dignity is the gospel. That is to say, the good news. It is also called Christianity. Yes, Antipope John Paul II preaches the heresy of Nestorius, the very doctrine of the Antichrist. He preaches the dissolving of Jesus in the incarnation, which results in the worship of multiple Christs and the worship of man. Here, in his very first encyclical, Redemptor Hominis, Antipope John Paul II explicitly defines the gospel, the good news, and Christianity as the deep amazement at man, indicating that each man is Jesus Christ whom Christians worship. And this worship of each man as Christ springs from Antipope John Paul II's teaching that the Son of God united himself with each man in the incarnation. Furthermore, while the similarity between Nestorius and Antipope John Paul II is undeniable, there is a crucial difference between the two. There is a crucial difference between the preliminary Antichrist, Nestorius, and the Antichrist, Antipope John Paul II. The difference is that Antipope John Paul II's preaching is 6 billion times worse. The preliminary Antichrist, Nestorius, dissolved Jesus into two, resulting in the worship of two Christs, while the Antichrist, Antipope John Paul II, dissolves Jesus into 6 billion. 6 billion into whom the Son of God has been dissolved in the incarnation, which results in the worship of 6 billion Christs. Anti-Pope John Paul II, General Audience, January 25, 1984. Christ, the Son of God, by becoming flesh, assumes the humanity of every man. At this point, he becomes united with every person. In the encyclical Redemptor Hominis, I wrote that the name for that deep amazement at man's worth and dignity is the gospel. That is to say, the good news. It is also called Christianity. Here we have Anti-Pope John Paul II illustrating his dissolving of Jesus, his doctrine of the Antichrist, and his worship of man with cause and effect precision. He tells us that because the Son of God was united with each man in the incarnation, that is, because the Son of God was dissolved into each man in the incarnation, the name for Christianity is the deep amazement at each man. Because by virtue of that event, every man is Jesus Christ. Every man is truly Son of God and truly man. We will prove in this tape that this doctrine of the Antichrist, that each man became the Son of God in the incarnation and is therefore Jesus Christ, is what Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches to the world. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches that each man must take possession of the incarnation. Just prior to defining Christianity as the deep amazement at man in his first encyclical Redemptor Hominis, Anti-Pope John Paul II wrote the following. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Redemptor Hominis, number 10. The man who wishes to understand himself thoroughly, he must appropriate and assimilate the whole of the reality of the incarnation and redemption in order to find himself. If this profound process takes place within him, he then bears fruit not only of adoration of God, but also of deep wonder at himself. To appropriate something is to take possession of it. To assimilate something is to absorb it. Therefore, Anti-Pope John Paul II is saying here that man must take possession of the incarnation. That is, he must take possession of the fact that God became man in order to find himself. This means that man must understand that he is a God-man in order to find himself. And when this happens in man, according to Anti-Pope John Paul II, man will not only possess adoration of God, but also deep wonder at himself, because he will learn that he too is Christ, the Son of God who has become man. And this is why Anti-Pope John Paul II defines Christianity as the deep amazement at each man in the very next paragraph of this encyclical, confirming that this worship of each man flows directly from the incarnation. Moreover, Anti-Pope John Paul II repeats his important message about taking possession of the incarnation in order to find man numerous times in his writings, since, as we have already shown, it is the foundation for his entire gospel of Antichrist. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches that the gospel is the good news of man. Anti-Pope John Paul II defines the gospel as the deep amazement at man in his first encyclical and numerous other times. But Anti-Pope John Paul II also defines the gospel as the good news of Jesus Christ. The important point is that for the Antichrist, this is no contradiction, because his message as the Antichrist is that every man is Jesus Christ. Anti-Pope John Paul II address, March 7, 1983. The gospel is a person. It is Jesus Christ. Anti-Pope John Paul II homily, June 1, 1980. Not only is the gospel message addressed to man, but it is a great messianic message about man. It is the revelation to man of the complete truth about himself. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Redemptoris Missio, number 13. Jesus himself is the good news. He proclaims the good news not just by what he says or does, but by what he is. Anti-Pope John Paul II homily, June 4, 1997. The Gospel, by proclaiming the good news of Jesus, announces also the good news of man. Anti-Pope John Paul II on Christ Lay Faithful, number 7, December 30, 1988. Jesus Christ Himself is the good news. Anti-Pope John Paul II homily, May 9, 1988. The Gospel is the revelation of God, and it is also the revelation of the truth about man, about his dignity. We call it good news or good tidings. Anti-Pope John Paul II is preaching to the world that man and Jesus are one and the same, and that the Gospel is the truth about Jesus, and it is also the truth about each man. The next quotation, in fact, is particularly revealing. Anti-Pope John Paul II addressed to members of U.S. Congress January 8, 2001. I have invited all to turn to Jesus in order to discover in new and deeper ways the truth of man. To see the truth of Christ is to experience with deep amazement the worth and dignity of every human being, which is the good news of the Gospel. First of all, notice the reference to Redemptor Hominis 10 that Anti-Pope John Paul II makes. Redemptor Hominis 10 is where the Antichrist originally defined the Gospel and Christianity as the deep amazement at man. Secondly, just before giving that reference, Anti-Pope John Paul II says that to see the truth of Christ is to experience with deep amazement the worth and dignity of every human being. In other words, to see the truth of Christ is to experience every man according to Anti-Pope John Paul II. And this is the good news of the Gospel. This means that every man is Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach a gospel to you, besides that which we have preached to you, let him be anathema. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preach to you a gospel besides that which you have received, let him be anathema. One of Antipope John Paul II's most famous encyclicals was his 1995 Evangelium Vitae. Evangelium Vitae means the gospel of life. Antipope John Paul II Evangelium Vitae number 29. The gospel of life is something concrete and personal, for it consists in the proclamation of the very person of Jesus. Here in Evangelium Vitae number 29, Antipope John Paul II defines the gospel of life. He says it is Jesus himself, but watch this. Antipope John Paul II Evangelium Vitae number 2, the gospel of God's love for man, the gospel of the dignity of the person, and the gospel of life are a single and indivisible gospel. Antipope John Paul II just told us that the gospel of life is Jesus, and here he is telling us that the gospel of life also is the gospel of man's dignity. He is clearly saying that the proclamation of Jesus is also the proclamation of each man. They are a single and undivided proclamation. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches that man is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the 16th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel is recorded one of the most important events in the history of Christianity. And Jesus came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man is?" But they said, "Some John the Baptist, and others Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." Jesus saith to them, "But whom do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answering said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." In this dramatic moment in salvation history, St. Peter professed the truth that lies at the heart of the gospel. He professed correctly that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In his first homily, Antipope John Paul II addressed these words spoken by St. Peter about our Lord Jesus Christ. Antipope John Paul II's very first homily, marking the beginning of his pastoral ministry, Sunday, October 22, 1978. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Matthew 16:16. 16, 16. These words were spoken by Simon, son of Jonah, in the district of Caesarea Philippi. On this day and in this place, these same words must again be uttered and listened to. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Please listen once again, today in this sacred place, to the words uttered by Simon Peter. In those words is the faith of the church. In those same words is the new truth, indeed the ultimate and definitive truth about man, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In his first ever homily as antipope in 1978, in the very speech which will forever mark the beginning of his pastoral ministry, Sunday, October 22, 1978, antipope John Paul II proclaims to the world that man is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He even says that this is a new truth, which he, the Antichrist, is here to reveal. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Spoken by St. Peter about our Lord Jesus Christ are the words which describe the truth about man, according to the Antichrist, Antipope John Paul II. Pope Pius X, Issa Primi Apostolatus, October 4, 1903. While on the other hand, and this according to the same apostle, is the distinguishing mark of Antichrist, man has with infinite temerity put himself in the place of God. The distinguishing mark of the Antichrist, man in the place of God, is the distinguishing mark of Antipope John Paul II. He is here to substitute the gospel of Jesus Christ with a gospel of man as Christ. He is here to substitute the truth about Jesus Christ with the truth about man. Antipope John Paul II preaches that the truth about man is that he is Jesus Christ. In Antipope John Paul II's writings, one will find countless references to man, but one will also find countless references to, quote, the truth about man. We now know what Antipope John Paul II is saying when he refers to this, quote, truth about man. It is that the truth about man is that he is Jesus Christ. Antipope John Paul II homily, December 17, 1991. Dear brothers and sisters, look to Christ, the truth about man. Here, Antipope John Paul II explicitly tells us that Christ is the truth about man. This means that the truth about man is that he is Jesus Christ. Antipope John Paul II, General Audience, February 22, 1984. So that consciences can be freed in the full truth of man, who is Christ. Antipope John Paul II preaches that the Word became flesh in every man. In John 1 verse 14, we read about the incarnation of the Son of God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Here is what the Antichrist had to say about these words. Antipope John Paul II, Encyclical on the Holy Ghost, number 50. The Word became flesh. The incarnation of God the Son signifies the taking up into unity with God, not only of human nature, but in this human nature, in a sense of everything that is flesh, the whole of humanity. Here, Antipope John Paul II quotes the words of John 1 verse 14 and says that the Word becoming flesh means the taking up of all flesh, the whole of humanity. This literally means that the Son of God became all flesh. He became the whole of humanity. And this is why Antipope John Paul II says the following. Antipope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 104. It is precisely in the flesh of every person that Christ continues to reveal himself, so that rejection of human life in whatever form that rejection takes is really a rejection of Christ. Here, Antipope John Paul II confirms his doctrine as he set it forth in the encyclical on the Holy Ghost, number 50. Because the Word became flesh in all of humanity, it is in the flesh of every person that Christ reveals himself. Every person is the Word made flesh according to the Antichrist. Notice how he even puts the word flesh in quotation marks, indicating specifically that every person is the Word made flesh of John 1 verse 14. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches that the Incarnation is the truth about man. Anti-Pope John Paul II homily in St. Louis, January 27, 1999. In the Incarnation, God fully reveals himself in the Son. The Incarnation also reveals the truth about man. Anti-Pope John Paul II Angelus Address, January 4, 1981. The coming of God to the world, the birth of God in a human body, is a penetrating and dazzling truth. It is a way along which man, as he walks, rediscovers himself. This means that each man discovers that he is God in a human body. Anti-Pope John Paul II Homily, December 14, 1999. By fixing our gaze on the mystery of the incarnate Word, man discovers himself. Here, the Antichrist blatantly asserts that by looking at the God-man, man discovers himself. Anti-Pope John Paul II Address, September 9, 2000. Fixing our gaze on the mystery of the incarnate Word, man discovers himself. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches that the mystery of the Word made flesh is the mystery of man. Anti-Pope John Paul II Address, January 14, 1999. And in reality, it is only in the mystery of the Word made flesh that the mystery of man truly becomes clear. Anti-Pope John Paul II has uttered this statement hundreds of times. He is telling us that it is only in the mystery of the Word made flesh, that is to say, only in the mystery of the God-man does the mystery of each man become clear, because each man is the God-man according to the Antichrist. Notice that the Antichrist does not say that it is in the teaching of the Word made flesh that the mystery of man becomes clear, but rather the mystery of the incarnate Word, the mystery of the God-man himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Veritatis Splendor, No. 2, August 6, 1993. In fact, it is only in the mystery of the Word incarnate that light is shed on the mystery of man. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Faith and Reason, No. 12. Only in the mystery of the incarnate Word does the mystery of man take on light. Anti-Pope John Paul II Homily, October 25, 1991. In reality, it is only in the mystery of the Word made flesh that the mystery of man truly becomes clear. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches that Mary is blessed because she had faith in man. In Luke 1 verse 45, Elizabeth speaks to Mary, "And blessed art thou that hast believed, because those things shall be accomplished that were spoken to thee by the Lord." In Luke 1 verse 45, we read that Elizabeth prays Mary for her faith in the Lord. Here is what the Antichrist says about this event. Anti-Pope John Paul II Homily, May 31, 1980. On the threshold of the house of Zechariah, Elizabeth said to Mary, "Blessed are you, you who believed." Luke 1 verse 45. Let us do honor to maternity, because faith in man is expressed in it. It is necessary to believe in man from the beginning. Blessed are you, Mary, you who believed. Luke 1 verse 45 tells us that Mary believed the Lord. Here in a homily commenting on Luke 1 verse 45, the Antichrist tells us that Mary believed in man from the beginning. He is clearly saying that the Lord whom Mary believed is each man. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches that every human being is the Christ child born on Christmas. Just as Anti-Pope John Paul II declared that man is the Christ, the Son of the living God, in his first homily, and just as he declared that Christianity, the Good News, and the Gospel are the deep amazement at each man in his first encyclical, so too did the Antichrist have a message for the world in his very first Christmas address as Antipope. Antipope John Paul II to the City and World Address, December 25, 1978. I am addressing this message to every human being, to man in his humanity. Christmas is the feast of man. The definition of Christmas is the following. Christmas, Christ's Mass, the common English name for the feast of the birthday of our Lord. Christmas is the feast of Jesus Christ's birth, but the Antichrist, in his first Christmas address, proclaims to every man that Christmas is the feast of man, clearly indicating that every man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Antichrist continued to preach his message for many Christmases to come. Anti-Pope John Paul II to the City and World Address, December 25, 1979. Christmas is the feast of all the children of the world, all of them. Anti-Pope John Paul II homily, December 25, 1993. Christmas is the feast of every human being. Anti-Pope John Paul II to the City and World Address, December 25, 1978. Accept the full truth concerning man that was uttered on Christmas night. No truth concerning man was uttered on Christmas night. The only truth that was uttered concerned the birth of the Savior. For this day is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord in the city of David. Luke 2 verse 11. If Christmas night also brought forth the full truth concerning man as the Antichrist says, then the full truth concerning man is that he is Jesus Christ. Antipope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 1. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The source of this great joy is the birth of the Savior, but Christmas also reveals the full meaning of every human birth. Antipope John Paul II addressed to Poles of Rome, December 23, 1998. The birth of the Son of God also shows us the profound truth about man. Antipope John Paul II to the City and World Address, December 25, 1978. If we celebrate with such solemnity the birth of Jesus, it is to bear witness that every human being is somebody unique and unrepeatable. Here, the Antichrist admits that the solemn celebration of Christmas is simply to bear witness to every human being. Antipope John Paul II homily, December 25, 1985. The Lord's birth is the light of the meaning, the light of the rediscovered meaning of all things, and above all, the meaning of man. In this incredible homily on Christmas 1985, the Antichrist declares that the Lord's birth is the meaning of man. This means that man is the Lord who is born on Christmas. Antipope John Paul II preaches that the Epiphany is the manifestation of man. The word Epiphany means a manifestation of God. Even Antipope John Paul II acknowledges this. Antipope John Paul II Angelus Address, January 2, 1983. As is well known, Epiphany means the manifestation of Jesus to the people, the revelation of the Messiah awaited for centuries. But watch how the Antichrist also defines that every baby is an Epiphany of God. Antipope John Paul II Angelus Address, January 11, 1998. Every baby who comes into the world is an epiphany of God. This clearly means, by his own definition, that every baby who comes into the world is God. Antipope John Paul II on the Christian Family, number 30, November 22, 1981. The Church stands for life. In each human life, she sees the splendor of that yes, that Amen, who is Christ himself. Antipope John Paul II preaches that man is the way. In John chapter 14, we read the following. Thomas saith to Jesus, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith to him, I am the way. In one of the most striking verses in all of Scripture, Jesus Christ tells us that he, Jesus, is the way. What does the Antichrist tell us? Antipope John Paul II Address, February 9, 2001. The human being is the way. Antipope John Paul II Encyclical on Human Work, number 1, September 14, 1981. Man is the primary and fundamental way. It is necessary to return constantly to this way. Antipope John Paul II Address, April 7, 1998. Man is the first way. Antipope John Paul II Address in Poland, June 14, 1999. Man is the primary and fundamental way. Anti-Pope John Paul II Letter to Families, No. 1, February 2, 1994. Man is the way. Jesus Christ told us very clearly that He, Jesus, is the way. Anti-Pope John Paul II tells us that man is the way. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches that man is the way, when Jesus alone is the way. And there is no doubt that Anti-Pope John Paul II is fully aware that he is putting man in the place of God when he preaches that man is the way. Yes, this man who speaks 14 languages fluently, who is the most seen person in the history of the world, who has traveled more miles than anyone in history, and spoken to more people than anyone in history, is fully aware that Jesus Christ is the way. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Catechesi Tridenti, No. 5, October 16, 1979. It is Jesus who is the way, and the truth, and the life. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Catechesi Tridenti, No. 22. Christ who is the way. Anti-Pope John Paul II, On the Lay Faithful, No. 34, December 30, 1988. Christ is for you the way. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Homily, April 8, 2001. For Jesus alone is the way. Anti-Pope John Paul II knows very well that Jesus alone is the way, and yet he preaches over and over again that man is the way. Anti-Pope John Paul II is preaching to us that there is no contradiction between the two statements, that man and Christ are interchangeable because they are the same. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Homily, December 10, 1989. Make straight the way of the Lord and of man, which is the path of the church. St. John the Baptist preached before Christ's coming, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. But Anti-Pope John Paul II tells us to make straight the way of the Lord and of man. His meaning is blatantly obvious. His meaning is that man is the Lord. In fact, notice the final phrase in this incredible quotation from the Antichrist. He does not tell us to make straight the ways of the Lord and of man, which are the path of the church. Rather, he says, make straight the way of the Lord and of man, which is the path of the church. They are a single way according to the Antichrist. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Letter to Families, No. 23. May we always be enabled to follow the one who is the way and the truth and the life. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Redemptor Hominis, No. 13, March 4, 1979. Jesus Christ is the chief way for the church. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Redemptor Hominis, No. 22. For in this the church also recognizes the way for her daily life, which is each person. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches that man is the truth. In John 14, verse 6, our Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself not only as the way, but also as the truth. Quote, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ tells us that he is the truth. What does the Antichrist tell us? Anti-Pope John Paul II, Veritatis Splendor, No. 84. Pilate's question, what is truth? Reflects the distressing perplexity of a man who often no longer knows who he is. Here, the Antichrist tells us that Pilate's question, what is truth, reflects the perplexity of a man who no longer knows who he is. The Antichrist is here attempting to put his satanic gospel of hell right in our face. He is trying to put it right in our face that man is the truth, that each man is really the Christ that Pilate couldn't recognize, and that Pilate himself, when he failed to perceive the truth that was in his very presence, the truth that is our Lord Jesus Christ, failed to perceive who man is. In addition to the truth, one of our Lord Jesus Christ's primary titles is the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Anti-Pope John Paul II acknowledges this fact in his encyclical on the Holy Ghost, No. 36. Anti-Pope John Paul II encyclical on the Holy Ghost, No. 36, May 18, 1986. The Word, the Eternal Son. But watch how the Antichrist applies this title of our Lord to man in the very next paragraph of this encyclical, Antipope John Paul II Encyclical on the Holy Ghost, number 37. Here we find ourselves at the very center of what could be called the anti-word, that is to say, the anti-truth, for the truth about man becomes falsified. In the encyclical on the Holy Ghost, number 36, Antipope John Paul II told us that Jesus Christ is the Word, the Eternal Son. Here in number 37 of the same encyclical, the Antichrist tells us that the anti-word and the anti-truth are a falsification of the truth about man, a falsification about who man is. This clearly means that man is the Word, the truth, the Son of God. Antipope John Paul II preaches that man is the life. In John 14, verse 6, our Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself not only as the way and the truth, but also as the life. Quote, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus Christ tells us that he is the life. St. John the Evangelist confirms this truth by describing our Lord Jesus Christ as the Word of life and the life eternal in his first epistle. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen and do bear witness, and declare unto you the life eternal, which was with the Father, and hath appeared to us. In this profound passage of sacred scripture, St. John identifies that Jesus Christ is the life eternal, as our Lord himself told us. But what does the Antichrist say? In fact, what does the Antichrist say about the very passage of sacred scripture that we just quoted, the first chapter of St. John's first epistle? Antipope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 30, March 25, 1995. The deepest and most original meaning of this meditation on what Revelation tells us about human life was taken up by the Apostle John in the opening words of his first letter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, concerning the Word of life, the life was made manifest, and we saw it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father. Here the Antichrist is quoting word for word the opening passage of St. John's first epistle, where St. John describes hearing and seeing Jesus Christ, the Word of life. The Antichrist tells us that this passage about our Lord Jesus Christ is actually what Revelation tells us about human life. This means that each human being is the Word of life, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Antichrist knows exactly what he is saying when he attributes this verse about our Lord to man, because just 50 paragraphs later in the same encyclical, Evangelium Vitae, Antipope John Paul II again quotes the same verse of Scripture, this time with the correct meaning. Antipope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 80.1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes concerning the Word of life, Jesus is the only gospel. We have nothing further to say or any other witness to bear. So in one encyclical, Antipope John Paul II quotes the opening words of St. John's first epistle two different times. And once he says it tells us about human life. And once he says it tells us about Jesus Christ. But as we have shown, in the preaching of the Antichrist, this is no contradiction. In his preaching, to speak of the life eternal is to speak of man. And to speak of man is to speak of the life eternal. Antipope John Paul II preaches that each man is the Eucharist. Antipope John Paul II Angelus Address, May 29, 1983. The thought of the Eucharist was present at every meeting, not only because there is contained in the Eucharist that which the life of every man has most deeply. Our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is contained in the Eucharist. Antipope John Paul II says that what is contained in the Eucharist, the life of every man has most deeply. This clearly means that each man has the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Antipope John Paul II, Redemptor Hominis number 20. The Eucharist is the sacrament in which our new being is most completely expressed. Antipope John Paul II preaches that each man is the crucified Christ. Antipope John Paul II, homily, June 11, 1982. When we look at the cross, we see in it the passion of man, the agony of Christ. Antipope John Paul II address, March 28, 1982. My pastoral visit so near to Holy Week thus becomes a meditation on the passion of Christ and on the passion of man. Antipope John Paul II on the meaning of suffering, number 20. Man, discovering through faith the redemptive suffering of Christ, also discovers in it his own sufferings. Man does not discover his own sufferings in Christ's sufferings, because man is not Christ, but this is what the Antichrist is preaching. Antipope John Paul II speech in the Colosseum, April 10, 1998. As we contemplate Christ dead on the cross, our thoughts turn to the countless injustices and sufferings which prolong his passion in every part of the world. I think of the places where man is insulted. When we contemplate Christ dead on the cross, we don't think of the places where man is insulted, because man is not the crucified Christ. Antipope John Paul II, General Audience, January 12, 1994. Even though St. Paul reminds us that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again, Christ continues to die. Christ continues his agony in so many of our brothers and sisters, in so many Christians and Muslims, in believers and non-believers. Antipope John Paul II begins by admitting that Christ will never die again, Romans 6, verse 9. He then tells us that death continues to be a part of human existence. He then proceeds to tell us that Christ continues to die in the Balkans, in Muslims and Christians, in believers and non-believers. His train of thought is not difficult to follow. Though Christ will never die again, man still dies. Thus Christ dies because man is Christ. He even stresses that Christ dies in Muslims and non-believers, which definitely shows that he preaches that every man is Jesus Christ. Antipope John Paul II, homily, October 1, 1999. He, Emmanuel, God with us, was crucified in the concentration camps and the gulags. He knew affliction under bombardment in the trenches. He suffered wherever the inalienable dignity of man, of every human being, was humiliated, oppressed, and violated. The term Emmanuel, God with us, is very specific. It applies to one person. Our Lord Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, Isaiah 7, verse 14, Matthew 1, verse 23. And our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified once for our sins. By describing each man as Emmanuel, Antipope John Paul II is specifically indicating that each man is God with us. It is quite obvious that Antipope John Paul II preaches that every man is the crucified Christ, the Savior of the world. But there is one place in his encyclical Evangelium Vitae that is particularly interesting on this topic. Antipope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 50.2, speaking of the darkness on Good Friday. But the glory of the cross is not overcome by this darkness. Rather, it shines forth ever more radiantly and brightly, and is revealed as the center, meaning, and goal of all history and of every human life. Here, Antipope John Paul II says that the glory of the cross is revealed as the meaning of every human life. Keep this in mind as we read the next quote from Evangelium Vitae. Antipope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 50.3. It is thus, at the moment of his greatest weakness, that the Son of God is revealed for who he is. On the cross, his glory is made manifest. Here, Antipope John Paul II tells us that by the glory of the cross, the Son of God is revealed for who he is. But he just told us one paragraph before this that the glory of the cross is the meaning of every human life. This means, by way of logical equation, that the Son of God equals the meaning of every human life. To illustrate this, we will look again at his words. The glory of the cross is the meaning of every human life, Evangelium Vitae 50.2. The glory of the cross reveals the Son of God, Evangelium Vitae 50.3. Conclusion, the Son of God is the meaning of every human life. Antipope John Paul II preaches that man is indeed God. Antipope John Paul II, Ecclesia in America, number 29. Prayer leads Christians little by little to acquire a contemplative view of reality, to contemplate God in every person. Antipope John Paul II, homily, August 10, 1985. Today, in consecrating your cathedral, we ardently desire that it become a true temple of God and man. This quotation proves that Antipope John Paul II preaches the worship of man as God by calling for the transformation of the temple of God into a temple of God and man. Antipope John Paul II, homily, August 9, 1980. The first and principal intention of every organization and every state, respect and love for man. Antipope John Paul II address, April 13, 1979. The conscience of all humanity, which proclaims the cause of man as the main purpose of all progress. Antipope John Paul II address to university teachers, September 9, 2000. Each of you could say with the ancient philosopher, I am searching for man. Antipope John Paul II homily, January 1, 1986. It is necessary for man to be sure of man. Antipope John Paul II homily, June 21, 1986. Yes, man. The church does not rest as long as man is threatened in his dignity. Antipope John Paul II message to Conference on Culture, March 10, 1986. The East and the West could be combined to develop a truly universal and humanitarian outlook based on faith in man. Antipope John Paul II Angelus Address, April 20, 1980. Man is offended and humiliated. Man, the sublime creature of God, who cannot, who must not be offended. Remember, just as Nestorius preached that Jesus Christ is two persons, the Son of God and a man named Jesus, so does Antipope John Paul II preach that every man is two persons, the Son of God and a mere man. This is why he can speak in one sentence about man being a creature of God, while at the same time he indicates that man is God, who cannot, who must not be offended. Antipope John Paul II preaches that man is the man from above. In John chapter 8, verse 23, we read the following, And he, Jesus, said to them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin. In this profound verse of St. John's Gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ describes himself as the one from above. He describes man as the one from below. Keep this in mind as we read the following words of the Antichrist. Antipope John Paul II homily, March 30, 1982. Looking at himself, man discovers also, as Christ says in the dialogue with the Pharisees, what is from below and what is from above. Man discovers within himself. This is a constant experience, the man from below and the man from above. Not two men, but almost two dimensions of the same man, the man that is each one of us, I, you, he, she. Here, Antipope John Paul II tells us with almost astonishing boldness that each man is the man from above and the man from below. But in the very passage that Antipope John Paul II is commenting on, Christ's dialogue with the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 23, Jesus defines himself as the one from above, and man as the one from below. It is undeniable that Antipope John Paul II is saying that each man, each one of us, is also Christ, the man from above. Antipope John Paul II preaches that man's true reality is that he is God. Antipope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 36. When God is not acknowledged as God, the profound meaning of man is betrayed. This literally means that the profound meaning of man is that he is God. Anti-Pope John Paul II addressed a French ambassador October 24, 1998. Humanism is a common ideal for all the French. It states that nothing is more beautiful nor greater than man. Anti-Pope John Paul II to the City and World Address, December 25, 1985. What is grace? Grace is precisely the manifestation of God. Grace is God as our Father. It is the Son of God. It is the Holy Spirit. Grace is also man. The Antichrist tells us that grace is God and that grace is also man. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Veritatis Splendor, number 58. The importance of this interior dialogue of man with himself can never be adequately appreciated, but it is also a dialogue of man with God. Here, Anti-Pope John Paul II says that a dialogue of man with himself is a dialogue of man with God. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Veritatis Splendor, number 10. What man is and what he must do becomes clear as soon as God reveals himself. Here, the Antichrist tells us in sly fashion that what man is becomes clear as soon as God reveals himself, which means that what man is God himself revealed. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Encyclical on the Holy Ghost, number 47. It is the reality of God that reveals and illustrates the mystery of man. The reality of God is that God is. Therefore, the Antichrist is saying that man's mystery is revealed in the fact that God is. Anti-Pope John Paul II, General Audience, September 15, 1982. Jerusalem can become also the city of man. Anti-Pope John Paul II addressed to bishops of Rwanda, September 17, 1998. Their blood will be a gospel seed. They will help you not to despair of man. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 3. Therefore, every threat to human dignity and life must necessarily be felt in the Church's very heart. It cannot but affect her at the core of her faith and the redemptive incarnation of the Son of God. Here, the Antichrist says that every threat to human dignity cannot but affect faith in the incarnation. Why would that be? Well, if every man became God in the incarnation as the Antichrist preaches, then every threat to man affects faith in the incarnation. Anti-Pope John Paul II to the City and World Address, March 31, 1991. Let respect for man be total. Every offense against the person is an offense against God. Anti-Pope John Paul II, World Day of Prayer for Peace, Assisi, Italy, January 24, 2002. To offend against man is, most certainly, to offend against God. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Homily, June 24, 1988. God wishes to encounter in man the whole of creation. Here the Antichrist indicates that in man one can find the whole of creation. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 21. The eclipse of the sense of God and of man. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 23. The eclipse of the sense of God and of man. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 24. The eclipse of the sense of God and of man. In paragraphs 21 to 24 of Evangelium Vitae, Anti-Pope John Paul II makes three statements regretting the loss of the sense of God and man in society. Keep this in mind as we read the next quote. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae, number 22. By living as if God did not exist, man not only loses sight of the mystery of God, but also the mystery of the world and the mystery of his own being. Here, the Antichrist explains that by living as if God did not exist, man loses sight of the mystery of his own being. This equates man's being with God, and this is why in the very same section of this encyclical, he speaks three times of the eclipse of the sense of God and man. He is preaching to us that to eclipse God is to eclipse man, because they are the same. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches that man is the Messiah. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Homily, September 12, 1982. And the meaning of human life, the meaning that it has in the eternal plan of love, cannot be understood except through that messianic contest, which Jesus of Nazareth carried on one day with Peter, and which he continues to carry on with every man and with all of mankind. Christianity is the religion of the messianic contest with mankind and for mankind. Here, anti-Pope John Paul II says that Peter and all of mankind carried on and continue to carry on a messianic contest with Jesus Christ. The word Messiah means the Savior. A messianic contest is therefore a contest between saviors. What this homily of anti-Pope John Paul II means is that there exists a competition between every man and Jesus Christ about who is the Savior. And only in this messianic competition can the meaning of human life be understood according to the Antichrist. Anti-Pope John Paul II, December 25, 1987. Speaking of Mary, the Mother of God, within her is the world which awaits its God. Within her is the creature completely open before its Creator. Within her is the history of every human being everywhere on earth. The Antichrist tells us that within the Mother of God is the history of every human being, but within Mary there was only Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, by saying that every human being everywhere on earth was in the womb of the Mother of God. The Antichrist is indicating that every human being everywhere on earth is Jesus Christ. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches the new evangelization. The Antichrist wants to evangelize the world to man, making everything more human, because all of humanity is Christ according to his gospel. Anti-Pope John Paul II homily, May 15, 1982. Education is intended to humanize man. Anti-Pope John Paul II homily, July 7, 1980. The true apostle of the gospel is he who humanizes and evangelizes at the same time. And in trying to convert the world to man as Christ, the Antichrist often explicitly equates becoming more human with becoming more divine. That is to say, he explicitly equates becoming more like man with becoming more like God. Anti-Pope John Paul II addressed to the Slovenians, May 18, 1996. In this way, you will help change the world. You will make it more human and thus more divine. Here, the Antichrist says that to be more like man is therefore to become more like God, indicating that man is God. Anti-Pope John Paul II on the Mystery of the Incarnation, number 2. The Church opens to all people the prospect of being divinized, and thus of becoming more human. Here again, the Antichrist explicitly says that to be more divine is therefore to become more human, therefore equating God with man. Anti-Pope John Paul II preaches that man must believe that he is God. Anti-Pope John Paul II homily, March 6, 1988. You shall not have other gods before me. You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Otherwise you, man, shall not discover yourself. Anti-Pope John Paul II quotes the first commandment about worshiping God, and he says that if you don't worship God, you will not discover yourself. Anti-Pope John Paul II Angelus Address, March 7, 1982. What value then does Christ's call to conversion and belief in the gospel have? What meaning do reconciliation with God and penance have in the ongoing mission of the Church? However, and also perhaps above all, the call is addressed to man, to every man, that he may again find himself, that he may believe in himself. This is an amazing Angelus address, even for the Antichrist. In it, Anti-Pope John Paul II asks, quote, what is the meaning of reconciliation with God? And, quote, what is the value of conversion and belief in the gospel? He answers his own questions by stating that above all, it is for man to find himself and believe in himself. Therefore, conversion, belief in the gospel, and reconciliation with God equal man finding himself and believing in himself. Man is God according to the Antichrist. Anti-Pope John Paul II, Ecclesia in America, number 67. Jesus Christ, the human face of God and the divine face of man. Antipope John Paul II, Redemptor Hominis number 16. Beg everybody in the name of God and in the name of man, do not kill. Antipope John Paul II, Homily, February 26, 2000. In revealing himself on the mountain and giving his law, God revealed man to man himself. There you have it. Here the Antichrist says that by revealing himself on Mount Sinai, God revealed man to man himself. Antipope John Paul II preaches the Rosary of Man. Antipope John Paul II, Document on the Rosary, number 25, October 16, 2002. Anyone who contemplates Christ through the various stages of his life cannot fail to perceive in him the truth about man. This means that Christ is the truth about man. Antipope John Paul II, Document on the Rosary, number 25, October 16, 2002. It could be said that each mystery of the Rosary, carefully meditated, sheds light on the mystery of man. Antipope John Paul II preaches that the unsearchable riches of Christ are everyone's property. Ephesians 3, verse 8, To me, the least of all the saints, is given this grace, to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. St. Paul says in Ephesians 3:8 that he was given the grace to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. St. Paul is referring to the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christ's attributes as the Son of God are unsearchable, but the Antichrist tells us that these unsearchable riches of Christ are actually the property of each man. Antipope John Paul II, Redemptor Hominis, number 11, March 4, 1979. In short, helping everyone to get to know the unsearchable riches of Christ, since these riches are for every individual and are everybody's property. Antipope John Paul II preaches that each man is the risen Christ. Antipope John Paul II addressed the International Symposium on Jan Hus, December 17, 1999. In contemplating the truth about man, we turn inevitably to the figure of the risen Christ. He alone teaches and embodies completely the truth of man. The Antichrist could hardly be more blunt. He says that to contemplate the truth about man is to turn inevitably to the risen Christ. The truth about man, therefore, is that man is the risen Christ. Antipope John Paul II, Regina Celli, April 28, 2002, on the risen Christ. His radiant countenance of glory fully reveals to us the truth of God and the truth of man. Antipope John Paul II addressed to Missionaries of Precious Blood, September 14, 2001. And at the moment of Easter, this joy came to its fullness as the light of divine glory shone on the face of the risen Lord, whose wounds shine forever like the sun. This is the truth of who you are, dear brothers. This means that the truth about man is that he is the risen Lord. We have proven in this video that Antipope John Paul II preaches that every man is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He declared this in his very first homily and has preached it for the last 25 years. He dissolves Jesus in the Incarnation, 1 John 4, 2 and 3, and he denies that Jesus is the Christ, 1 John 2, verse 22. His dissolving of Jesus results in the worship of every man as the Son of God, which he preaches and proclaims to the world in many and varied ways. Antipope John Paul II is Antichrist. There is no doubt about it. And what should be obvious to everyone who has seen the evidence presented so far is that no mere human intelligence is capable of preaching what Antipope John Paul II preaches. Only the devil himself could be preaching what Antipope John Paul II is preaching. Our Lady of La Salette tells us that the Antichrist will be, quote, the devil incarnate. The preaching of Antipope John Paul II is so calculated, so diabolically brilliant, so satanically consistent, so vast in its scope, covering all the mysteries of the gospel, and so successful in deceiving the multitudes that it can only be the work product of the devil himself. No one in history has come close to attacking our Lord Jesus Christ with such fury, to denying his sacred incarnation with such malice and frequency, to fulfilling sacred scripture's definition for Antichrist with such precision and completeness. No heretic in history could even begin to rival the wickedness of anti-Pope John Paul II's doctrine or his amazing achievement of preaching it without almost anyone figuring out what he is doing or who he really is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for unless there come a revolt first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and is lifted up above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself as if he were God. We have already quoted Father Herman Kramer, who pointed out that the temple of God where Antichrist sits cannot be a rebuilt temple of Jerusalem, because that would not be the temple of God, but the Antichrist's own temple. The temple of God where Antichrist sits must be and is St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, the largest Christian church in the world, and the very spot where the first Pope, St. Peter, was buried. The Catholic Encyclopedia article on Antichrist points out that St. Bernard believed that the only way that the Antichrist could deceive, if it were possible, even the elect, is by becoming an anti-pope, one whom the world at large believed was a true pope, but in actual fact was an anti-pope. And as we already stated, the Mother of God herself warned us on the day of September 19, 1846 in La Salette, France, where she prophesied that, quote, Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of the Antichrist. The church will be in eclipse. The fact that the Antichrist presently sits in St. Peter's Basilica should cause all Protestants to recognize that the Catholic churches are the temples of God, the true churches of Christ, which have been taken over by Antichrist and his counterfeit church in the last days. The Antichrist is sitting in the temple of God right now, showing himself as if he were God, by preaching that he and everyone else is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, whose coming is according to the working of Satan, in all power and signs and lying wonders, and in all seduction of iniquity, to them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Therefore God shall send them the operation of error, to believe lying, that all may be judged who have not believed the truth, but have consented to iniquity. St. Paul says that the Antichrist's coming is in accordance with the working of Satan, in all power, signs, and lying wonders. This is also being fulfilled today, during the reign of the Antichrist. Right now, there are literally thousands of people who claim to have apparitions of God and the Blessed Virgin Mary concerning anti-Pope John Paul II. These alleged apparitions state that John Paul II is not only a valid pope, but a great one, the saintly pope especially chosen by God to lead the church in these times. Some of these apparitions even state that anti-Pope John Paul II is the greatest pope in all of history, and that he is the last true pope before the coming of the Antichrist. All these apparitions are from the devil. They are false signs and lying wonders predicted by St. Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which accompany and make possible the reign of the Antichrist. These false apparitions are deceiving multitudes of people, and have been absolutely essential in getting the masses to follow the Antichrist and accept or tolerate his new religion. Our Lord Jesus Christ warned us ahead of time to be aware of these false signs. Matthew chapter 24, verses 24 through 26. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, Behold, he is in the desert, go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. Moreover, at many of these false apparition sites, extraordinary events have occurred, including many false miracles. These, quote, miracles have occurred all over the world. These lying signs and wonders are a major reason why anti-Pope John Paul II was easily the most loved person in the world, in addition to being the most traveled and seen person in all of human history. And while the operation of error deceives the multitudes as St. Paul predicted, anti-Pope John Paul II continues with his gospel of Antichrist and his attempt to destroy the one true Catholic Church. Thus, it was with full knowledge and understanding of who he is that anti-Pope John Paul II declared in his first homily that man is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was with the same knowledge that he declared in his very first encyclical, Redemptor Hominis, that Christianity is now the deep amazement at each man. And it was with the same knowledge that he declared in his very first Christmas address to the world, that Christmas is the feast of man. All of this was done deliberately. What is also fascinating is how anti-Pope John Paul II's own catechism defines the Antichrist. Anti-Pope John Paul II, New Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 675. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh. Anti-Pope John Paul II's own catechism could not have described him better. It accurately pinpoints that the deception of the Antichrist is a false messianism in which man replaces the Son of God come in the flesh. This religion of the Antichrist is not only preached by anti-Pope John Paul II as his distinguishing mark, but is actually practiced in the liturgy of his Vatican II Church. The new mass of the Vatican II Counterfeit Church puts man in the place of God by having the priest face man instead of God during the liturgy, and by orienting the entire worship toward man instead of toward God. The new mass, the liturgy of anti-Pope John Paul II's Counterfeit Catholic Church, is attempting to indoctrinate the masses into idolatry and the worship of man, just as anti-Pope John Paul II preaches it to the people in his encyclicals and speeches. Therefore, those who are attending the new mass must come out of it if they want to save their souls. Those who accept anti-Pope John Paul II as a Catholic, or his false Vatican II Church as the Catholic Church, must accept the relevant facts and change their position. And those who are donating money to priests or organizations which hold that anti-Pope John Paul II is the Pope must cease immediately if they don't want to perish in hell with the Antichrist. All must return to the traditional Catholic faith and the profession of all its dogmas. When our Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, most people expected the long-awaited Messiah would be a temporal ruler. They expected that the Christ would be a king who would physically conquer the earth. But the true Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, told us that his kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ involves something much more significant than the fleeting things of this world and the passing prestige of secular monarchies and powers. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ concerns the eternal life and the eternal death of man. It concerns that which really matters: heaven and hell, eternal happiness and eternal punishment. Matthew 16:26. For what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his own soul? And the Antichrist fully understands this. He knows that all that matters in the end are the souls of men, and that is why he has come, not for lands and kingdoms, but for souls to damn them. That is why the Antichrist has not come as most expected, not as a temporal ruler who conquers the earth, but as a religious leader attempting to conquer the spiritual kingdom of Christ. Thus, the Antichrist has not come preaching violence, but peace. He has come not in the name of war, but in the name of the brotherhood of man. He has come not to shake up the pagan world that lives in false religions outside the fold of Christ, but to encourage them to stay where they are by praying with them and showing them his esteem, knowing that they are already on the road to damnation. Thus, the Antichrist has not come looking like a bloodthirsty tyrant, but posing as the successor of Saint Peter, so that he can gain as much influence as possible over the Catholic world, while attempting to destroy Catholic tradition, change Catholic teaching, and make Catholics accept and embrace the false religions of the world. The Antichrist has come dressed in the clothing of sheep, but is inwardly a ravenous wolf, who hates our Lord Jesus Christ more than anyone in history. The Bible is clear that the second coming of Jesus Christ will come as a thief in the night, when it is least expected. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall so come as a thief in the night. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with great violence. Matthew chapter 24. As in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, even till that day in which Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not till the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. If our Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to earth as a thief in the night, if he is going to return as in the days of Noah, when they knew not till the flood came and took them all away, then this means that the Antichrist, who is going to be on earth just prior to Christ's second coming, will also not be recognized as the Antichrist by almost anyone.
Oh, so we love you.